Lecture topic, Marriage and the Scourge of Infidelity, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ليس منا من خبب امرأة على زوجها أو عبدا على سيده أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, while the world continues to grapple with the wave of immorality that has been unleashed upon us by the net and its likes, and has had a devastating effect on both the institution of marriage and the fabric of society, none can deny nor doubt the fact that divorce has become the order of the day. I read an article that suggested the new trend that is emerging in the world is that children are being raised by their grandparents. Furthermore, the article suggested it might be better to target grandparents when having parenting workshops than biological parents themselves. So if you're conducting a workshop on parenting, it might be in your interest to invite the grandparents more, because the children are left at the mercy of the grandparents. With the grace of Allah, in Ramadan I was in Canada, and there was one particular brother by the name of Imran who was very kind to us, and he used to take us daily to the masjid and back and fro. So at the masjid, whenever we used to go, I see the children used to come out to him. How are you, Assalamu alaikum? How are you, Uncle Imran? How are you, Uncle Imran? Everybody greeting him. I said, I'm sure you haven't fathered so many children. He said, my mother is an official babysitter and all these children grow up in my house. All these children officially, and I'm talking of, you know, dozens of children that grow up in my house, and there is a bond that has attached, that they still stay in touch with my mother because they have spent the greater portion of their childhood and their infancy with my mother. So this is the harsh reality. These are the new demographics of the world. This is as the world is evolving and changing, this is what faces us. The hadith that I have quoted before you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ خَبَّبَ إِمْرَأَةً عَلَى زَوْجِهَا أَوْ عَبْدًا عَلَى سَيِّدِهِ. He is not from amongst us who provokes a woman, incites a woman against her husband. Neither is he amongst us who incites or provokes a slave against his master. Now, like it or not, accept it or deny it, one of the intended or unintended consequences of the net is that people are living a dual life. A man is chatting with a strange woman. He's living semi in the real world and semi in the land of fantasy. Semi in the land of excitement, where he allows his fantasies to come to fruition. So constantly there is this challenge that is dawning upon him, and he is at the crossroads. This green patch on the opposite end is staring at him, and he's busy considering his options daily. So what happens is, he doesn't put his shoulder to the wheel to make this marriage work, because there is a better option on the opposite end. And I'm afraid, because of indulgence in this immorality and this infidelity and this disloyalty, Allah alone knows how many marriages have been shattered and how many homes have been broken. And the point I want to drive and the issue I want to address here is that let us not lose the good relation that Allah has given us with the issues that we face for a supposed or an alleged relation that's supposed to offer me and give me that which I am hoping for and that which I am yearning for. I share with you an incident that appeared in Bani Israel, where there was a tyrant ruler and he enjoyed everything of the best,
But unfortunately, his gaze fell on a strange woman. And this is the thing that we need to take stock with. The ulama have written the multiple benefits of taking care of one's gaze. Number one, فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَطْلَقَ نَظْرَهُ دَامَتْ حَسْرَتُهُ. The one who roams his gaze, his regret is permanent. فَأَضَرُّ شَيْءٍ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ إِرْصَالُ الْبَصَرِ. The most harmful thing to the heart is to roam the gaze. Why? لِأَنَّهُ يُرِيهِ مَا يَشْتَدُّ طَلَبُهُ. The nature of the heart is it will provoke the eye to look at things that are appealing to the heart. لِأَنَّهُ يُرِيهِ مَا يَشْتَدُّ طَلَبُهُ. So the heart will provoke the eye to look at that sight. It is intriguing, it is exciting, it is comforting, it is soothing, whatever it is. وَلَا صَبْرَ لَهُ عَنْهُ وَلَا وُسُولَ لَهُ إِلَيْهِ. That sight becomes unbearable and irresistible to the heart. Yet the reality on the ground is you don't have access to what you are looking. وَهَذَا غَايَةُ أَلَمِهِ وَشِدَّةُ عَذَابِهِ. And this is the pinnacle of tormenting one's heart. Let me simplify the parable. Let me make it easier for understanding purposes. Let's take a child and say we're going shopping and we're going to do nothing more than walk you through the toy aisle. We're going to do nothing more than take you to a mall and walk you through the mall, or take a woman to a jewelry shop. Take a woman to a jewelry shop. Maybe that might be more challenging. أَوَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينَ. Allah says, a woman is nurtured in jewelry. That is her pride, her passion, her desire, her inclination. So the most harmful thing is to roam the gaze. And any man who roams his gaze, rest assured his restlessness is perpetual. Such a man will never see happiness. Wuhayb ibn Ward rahmatullah alayhi used to say, لَأَنْ أَغُضَّ بَصَرِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ تَكُونَ لِي الدُّنْيَا مُنْذُ خُلِقَتْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَفْنَى. I would prefer being given the ability to lower my gaze than to own the entire world from its inception to its destruction, and just not own it for the sake of owning it, but owning it and giving it in the path of Allah. I would rather opt that Allah gives me the ability to lower my gaze against owning the assets of the entire world, and furthermore coupled with the element of contribution in the path of Allah. لَأَنْ أَغُضَّ بَصَرِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. I would prefer being given the ability to lower my gaze. That would bring greater joy to me than owning the entire world and giving it in the path of Allah. Ismail rahmatullah alayhi says, I was performing tawaf and then my gaze fell on a strange woman. And unfortunately, I was infatuated over her beauty and I was riveted by her attraction and I couldn't resist myself. So she looked at me and she said, brother, ma alayka, what's the matter with you? Ya hadha ma sha'nuk, why are you looking at me? You know that's forbidden. So I said to her sister, ma alayki min al-nadri, I'm only looking, why are you getting so personal and offended? So she said, wa kunta mata arsalta tarfaka ra'idan liqalbika yawman at'abatka al-manadhiru. Ra'ayta alladhi la kullahu anta qadirun alayhi wa la an ba'dhihi anta sabiru. Listen, my brother, if you keep on looking at beautiful things, the beautiful sights of this world will one day tire you. You're looking at someone who in totality you cannot have because I belong to someone else, and merely looking at leaves you restless. رَأَيْتَ الَّذِي لَا كُلَّهُ أَنْتَ قَادِرٌ عَلَيْهِ. In totality you cannot enjoy it, and mere looking only exacerbates and aggravates the problem, nothing else. One person says, I was sitting with Dhinnoon Misri rahmatullah alayhi, and there was a youngster sitting there, and Dhinnoon Misri rahmatullah alayhi was conveying to him the discourses of deen. And then a young girl passed by, فَجَعَلَ الْفَتَى يُسَارِقُ النَّظْرَ. So the young boy started stealing glances. So Dhinnoon Misri rahmatullah alayhi politely turned his head and he said, focus on your lesson. And he said, دَعِ الْمَسُوغَاتِ مِن مَّاءٍ وَطِينٍ وَشْغَلْ هَوَاكَ بِحُورِ عِينِي. Turn your gaze away from the woman of this world and occupy your thoughts over the damsels of paradise. Humanly, Allah has created every man that he will incline towards beauty. Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحل لك النساء من بعد ولا أن تبدل بهن من أزواج ولو أعجبك حسنهن إلا ما ملكت يمينك. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not permissible for you now to wed any other wife, nor can you alternate or substitute your spouses, even if you are intrigued or attracted by the beauty of any woman. So the scholars say, I'jab bil husn, attraction to the beauty of a woman is pretty much normal. The urge is normal and natural. To succumb to the urge and the inclination, this is sinful and this is incorrect. Be it as it may, this king's gaze fell on a strange woman, and he did not discipline himself, and he could not contain himself. Now, sometimes you say, you know what, I want to exercise my right of polygamy. But how do you exercise your right on polygamy on a woman who is the wife of someone else? What do you do? You know, on the lighter note, husband and wife were chatting. So the wife asked the husband, or the husband asked the wife, you know what, if I pass away, my wife, my beloved, my darling, and I think it features in all of our discussions, will you get married or will you stay single? What would you do? She said, you know what, I don't think I will get married. I'll stay with my sister. She's single and I will just pass my life like that. Anyway, that's quite faithful and loyal and quite, you know, committed to the relation. Sometime later, as the discussion progressed, the wife twisted it around and asked the husband, what's your take? If I pass away, would you marry or would you, you know, live a life of solitude and single? So he looked and he said, I think I'll also just stay with your sister. They say there's only one perfect woman, and every neighbor has her. There's only one perfect woman, and every neighbor has her. Before Ramadan, I was in UK, and then from there we went to Sri Lanka. Subhanallah, these brothers were so warm and so receptive. Allah bless them. In my short stay, it was such a meaningful, and I honestly had no idea of the reception that I had, and especially where the local and the vernacular language is not English. But mashallah, people turned out in hundreds and droves and scores and multitudes. And we had programs at stadiums and we had programs at convention centers. Allah bless them and guide them. Anyway, they took me out and we went to a beautiful resort and we sat down and we had a good meal. And I guess when men are together, polygamy is like, you know, in their instinct and their nature. And maybe they want to try every scholar that comes out to get a feed from him. So they tried me on. And they started chatting on the issue of polygamy. So one of the brothers there, he said, you know, Sheikh, I always tell people I have an MBA degree. So I said, unpack that for me. He said, married but available. I said, I also have that degree of yours, man. You're not the only one. Every man has that degree. Today we are living in a wicked world. What's the slogan in the corporate world? A woman sleeps her way up to promotion. What's the slogan in the corporate world? A woman sleeps her way up to promotion. I can understand that in a non-Muslim environment. I'm afraid it has infiltrated in Muslim homes. It has infiltrated the Muslim corporate sector. And none has been saved from this tide of immorality. So here comes this king with his passion to now break that marriage to enjoy this woman. And that's what's happening when you're chatting online. Your fantasy, your expectation, this is the woman and everything will be perfect and I don't have to put up with these tantrums and I don't have to contend with these issues. They say you tell a man something, it goes in one ear and it comes out from the other ear. You tell a woman something, it goes in both the ears, shoots out from the tongue. So I don't have to put up with this. As if that woman across the road, on the opposite island, in a different land, she doesn't have these issues. I'm saying come into the real world. Stop chatting. Stop ducking and diving. Grab the bull by its horns. Address the issue. Thresh your differences. And we have to make this marriage work. So anyway, he sends a woman to this woman. أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهَا إِمْرَأَةً وَقَالَ لَهَا خَبِّبِيهَا عَلَى زَوْجِهَا. Go to this woman and incite her, provoke her. وقولي لها and say to her, لو صارت عندي لكسوتها الحرير ولألبستها الحلي ولأخدمتها الخدم. She comes to me, number one, we will clad her with silk, we will fill her hands with jewelry, and at every given moment she will have 10 servants dancing around her tune. So this is the bare minimum that she'll start off with. This is a woman breaking even, living hand to mouth, just making the ends meet. She was the wife of a farmer. And here she becomes tempted with the bait of wealth. You see, that woman taps into my lust and I tap into her greed. And that's what's happening and it's causing the chaos in the world. She taps into my lust. The other day I was listening to a program on radio and they were talking about all these, you know, schemes where people are given, supposedly you invest your money and big amount and quick returns and it's amazing and it's phenomenal. And next best thing, everything is gone, the man is gone, the money is gone. How do people get away with these schemes? And there was one answer that was given is that anything that is too good to be true, you got to avoid it. But you know it's too good to be true, yet they tap into your greed. They tap into your greed and for a moment it veils your sanity and you put your money down, there is no binding contract and it's gone. In the very same way, that billboard, that woman, that immoral person is tapping into your lust. You are tapping into her greed and this is the chaos that has come about in the entire world. So when this woman heard about this king proposing to me and this is what I will have, with this man, I really don't see a future financially. I don't ever see things turning out better. So she obviously got tempted with this new relation. And as soon as she entertained the possibility of this new relation, she became negligent about her existing relation. And this is what we need to understand. Let it not be, my brother, let it not be that you cast a nasty glance on a strange woman and you think you can launch and ditch and abandon your wife at any time and that woman is available. And in the interim, you lose both and you get nothing. And I say the same to you, my sister. Unfortunately, at the moment, the element of infidelity and disloyalty has crossed the gender line. It's not only a masculine problem, it has crossed both the genders. And unfortunately, it has swept through in the entire community. So this woman, when her husband returns, فَلَمْ تُهَيِّئْ لَهُ طَعَامَهُ. She doesn't prepare food. وَلَمْ تُفْرِشْ لَهُ فِرَاشَهُ. You know, how often don't we see, you come home and suddenly you see the mood is different and she's playing the tough card. Looks like that friend of yours visited you again. Why? Because the type of woman that comes proportionate is the nature of the influence that gets in. What influences are coming in? Just as we have to be conscious about who our children associate and assimilate with, who am I associating with? If I come home and I start talking of strange woman and I become insensitive to the feelings of my wife and I don't acknowledge her presence and I don't acknowledge her adornment for her, for me, then obviously I'm also hanging out with the wrong company and I'm getting the wrong messages and she is on the receiving end. So in a very holistic way, with a very broad brush, I am painting the picture. One day passes, 2 days, the husband tells the wife, مَا هَذَا الْخُلُقُ الَّذِي لَا أَعْرِفُهُ. My wife, but this is not the relation on which we commence, and this is not the marriage we enjoy. What's the matter? So she said, well, you'll have to get used to a new Fatima. You better get used to a new Aisha. That's it. Once, twice, he said, you're provoking me. I'm going to then be compelled to utter the word talaq, which I'm reluctant to do, and don't drive me to that limit. So she said, well, I'm not holding you back. I'm not holding you back. There's an incident in the intelligence of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that one day husband and wife were having a discussion, and the husband tells the wife something, and then the wife back answers, and then the husband retorts, and then the wife goes into absolute silence. Withdrawal symptoms. So in that moment of frustration, the husband says, I insist that you give me an answer. And she's silent. If you don't speak before the flush of dawn and the break of fajr, then 3 talaqs will fall on you. So she said, okay, that's pretty much which in her mind I was hoping for. Now nothing in the world is going to make me speak. Anyway, he realized that now time is going, the clock is ticking. Before the Fajr Adhan is called out, If I don't get this woman to speak, then I am definitely, my marriage has been concluded and the marriage is over. So he went to the different jurists and everyone said, you're going to have to impress her, buy her a gift, whatever you can get. If there's a select there, maybe you can get yourself something and give her some gifts and get her to speak. But nothing doing. Finally, he goes to the house of Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, Nu'man ibn Thabit. Imam Abu Hanifa said, listen, this is for you. Don't make it a general thing, but we can work our way out of this. Again, we learn from here, there was a common sentiment by the broader community to safeguard the marriages of that time. This was the common message. Wait, let's see how we can pull you out of this mess. Let's see how we can navigate our way. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, before the time of Fajr sets in, when it's not yet the time of Fajr, go to the masjid and call out the Adhan, proclaim the Adhan. So you'll go early and you call out Tahajjud Adhan, she will assume it to be Fajr Adhan and she will sigh with relief. My talaq is now over. You go back and you say, my wife, look at the horizons far from Fajr. Anyway, he says, all is on. He goes out and before the break of, I'm not teaching you to make tricks. What I'm saying is save the marriage. I'm saying save the marriage. My message is not learn tricks, my brother. For Allah's sake, save the marriage. I said it recently in one of my talks. My sons are here. One of them were impersonating me. Now this is the consequences of how widespread the problem is. My 10-year-old son was impersonating me. Picks up the phone. Yeah, you're speaking to Sheikh Suleiman. No problem, give the talaq. I said, my son, when did you ever hear that from me? I've never said it in my 15 years of counseling. But my little boy, his ears have been listening. Guard your lips when a child is near, for children repeat the things they hear. Let no ugly tone be heard, no careless talk, no angry word. For it is a gracious sin to mar the innocent. Language, vulgar or unkind, leaves its mark upon the mind. So let your speech be wise and mild in the presence of a child. I'm saying this is how widespread the problem is. A child impersonating, he's also hearing the word talaq. And the other day, one of them said, no man, this becoming an alim is very daunting. You have to deal with this mess of marriages. I said, no, this is an unfortunate, you know, subsequent development. This is not the actual thing to study in the sciences of Islam. The point I am driving, the message I am harping, the issue that I'm trying to impress upon your mind, save the marriage. Anyway, this man comes out and he calls out the Adhan and the wife sighs with relief. You know what? I have now been unleashed and I have been unshackled. And yes, I'm a free bird and nobody can clip my wings. So he says, my wife, with respect, you want to go out and look at the horizon? حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Go look at the black line from the white line. Look at the horizon. So she realized that, hey, you know what? This is the Tahajjud Adhan. Anyway, in this relation, the wife plays tough. She's living a relatively stable life with her husband who's providing a meager meal. But the day is passing, the night is moving. The wheel of life is turning. Here you suddenly are green with envy and you are, you know what, enviable of this alleged life. So the husband divorces his wife. The one marriage breaks up. This woman is now separated from her husband. The tyrant king, his marriage breaks up with his wife because obviously he now found someone more young, more attractive, more seductive. The incident goes on. فَلَمَّا تَزَوَّجَهَا جَبَّارُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. When the tyrant king from Bani Israel finally wedded this woman, and they met in seclusion, as was alleged, and it was the pinnacle of fantasy. عَمِيَ وَعَمِيَتْ. Now came the stick of Allah. Now came the hidden hand of Allah. Remember the sigh of that woman. Remember the pain of that woman. Remember the agony of that oppressed one. Remember the tear of the hurt one. At times it's the man, at times it's the woman. I'm consciously in relation to the data that I have before me. I wouldn't make, say it's 70 versus 30, 50-50. At times men are victims, at times they are victors. At times it's the woman, at times it's otherwise, vice versa. When they met in seclusion, And they had their, you know, they will have their plan and they'll get married and everything will happen before they get into the bedroom and before they consummate the relation and before they make the magical touch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized his vision and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatched her sight. They both were visually impaired. Allah took their sight and their vision away, and the narration goes on to say that their hands, jaffat yaduhu, his hand became paralyzed. Leave alone enjoying this woman, leave alone fantasizing with this woman, you lost your marriage, you lost your faculties. I'm saying, my brother, hold your marriage. Allahumma la tanzi' minni saliha ma a'taytani. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to Allah every day. Oh my Allah, don't snatch from me what you've given me. Allah, don't seize. I cry and I make this dua. My Allah, I don't deserve it for a start off, neither do I deserve to have it for a prolonged period. But I've become so habitual and so accustomed to your bounties, don't take it from me. Really, brothers, we are living in a time, Huzaifa ibn Yaman, the confidant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَا يَنْجُو أَحَدْ إِلَّا مَنْ يَدْعُوكَ دُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. A time is to come, none will be rescued from the tide of immorality, from the wave of infidelity. None will be rescued from vice and evil, but the person who begs Allah, like our drowning man begs Allah. If you want to be saved, and you want your progeny to be saved, my sister, you will have to do more than the regular Yasin that you read. My brother, you'll have to do more than the regular 2 rakats that you read. You'll have to grip that prayer mat like you never held it. And my sister, you'll have to hold that Quran like you never left it. Then hopefully it makes a difference to the progeny and we are also rescued. Let me share with you an incident. That is the incident of Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi. Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi was a great scholar, a great son of Islam. One scholar from Basra says, I travel with Amir ibn Abdullah al-Tamimi rahmatullah alayh. فَلَمَّا أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا اللَّيْلِ. When night had fallen, نَزَلْنَا بِغَيْضَةٍ. We halted at a place which was surrounded with trees. فَجَمَعَ عَامِرٌ مَتَاعَهُ. Amir gathered his belongings. وَرَبَطَ فَرَّسَهُ. He tied his horse. وَطَوَّلَ زِمَامَهُ. He extended the reins. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ مِنْ حَشَائِشِ الْأَرْضِ مَا يُشْبِعُهُ وَطَرَحَهُ أَمَامَهُ. He gathered some food, some grass, some herbs, and he dropped it before the animal. ثُمَّ دَخَلَ الْغَيْضَ. And then he entered this place which was surrounded with trees. وَأَوْغَلَ فِيهَا. And he camouflaged himself. Now for a man to be particular and disciplined in journey is amazing. If a person is disciplined at home, itself is wonderful, it's meritorious, and it is so much greater a quality and so much noble a deed if a person can maintain that stringent discipline when he embarks on journey, simply because the circumstances in journey are not conducive. Perhaps you didn't have a good sleep, you didn't have a good meal, you didn't have a good rest, you're at the mercy of a tired body, at a hungry body, etc. But it was amazing to see this man, absolute discipline in journey. He put everything aside, he went inside. فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي. I said to myself, وَاللَّهِ لَأَتْبَعَنَّهُ وَاللَّهِ لَأَتْبَعَنَّهُ وَلَأَنْذُرَنَّ مَا يَصْنَعُ فِي أَعْمَاقِ الْغَيْضَةِ. I am intrigued and I really want to see what this man is up to. So I went in. So I seen دَخَلَ حَتَّى. He entered until he came to the innermost part of this area, to a place that was completely surrounded, مَسْتُورَةٍ عَنِ الْأَعْيُنِ, which was rather concealed from the eye. You had to get in to see that somebody is doing anything or making ibadat. When he got there, وَانْتَصَبَ قَائِمًا يُصَلِّي. He stood up and he started performing salah. فَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحْسَن مِن صَلَاتِهِ وَلَا أَكْمَلْ وَلَا أَخْشَعْ. I have never seen a prayer more wholesome. I've never seen a salah more amazing. I've never seen a bond more spiritual than that of Amir ibn Abdullah. When he completed his salah, تَفِقَ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ وَيُنَاجِيهِ. He started making dua to Allah. We learn from the lives of the pious, we equally learn from the supplications of the pious. Look at the dua that he made. He said, إِلَهِ خَلَقْتَنِي بِأَمْرِكِ. These people spoke to Allah. They just didn't implore Allah, or they just didn't supplicate Allah. They spoke to Allah. Did not the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam speak to Allah, Allahumma in shi'ta la tu'bad. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhihi al-isaba la tu'bad ba'da al-yawm. Allah, it's Badr. Allah, it's critical. Allah, it's crucial. Allah, the enemies have mobilized. Allah, it's not us against them, it's truth against falsehood. My Allah, the choice is yours, the prerogative is yours. If you don't want to be worshipped, then don't help us. Allahumma in tuhlik hadhihi al-isaba la tu'bad. Allah, if you destroy these 313, you will not be worshipped. Understand with utmost respect, what was the bond of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam with Allah? Look at Amir ibn Abdullah's words. Ilahi khalaqtani bi amrik wa aqamtani fi balaya hadhihi ad-dunya bi mashi'atik thumma qulta li istamsik walakin kayfa astamsiku illam tumsikni bi lutfika ya qawiyyu ya mateen. Ilahi khalaqtani bi amrik. My Allah, you created me by your choice. Wa aqamtani fi balaya hadhihi ad-dunya bi mashi'atik. And you subjected me to the trials and the tribulation and the immorality of this world by your decree. Thumma qulta li istamsik. Then you impressed upon me that I must restrain myself. Walakin kayfa astamsiku illam tumsikni. But I'm asking you, my Allah, how can I restrain if you don't hold me? Oh my Allah, how can I restrain? Where immorality has entered my home, has entered my pocket. The system of the world is, I cannot operate without a phone and without an internet. But coupled with that is all the negative and the evil that has come in. Just look at how the forces of batil are sweeping through. There was a network in UK, a brother had shared this with me, that had launched a phone, and the only thing about this phone was, if you may call it a catch, which yes I do, but the young mind does not, you get a free phone, there's no monthly subscription, you must just accept free SMSs every day. So you'll be getting free adverts, that's it, free adverts, that's the only thing, and in the young mind, I will delete it. One day you'll delete it, the second day you'll delete it, but the third day that SMS of a woman across the road who's waiting to speak to you coincides with the moment that your wife had an argument with you. Now you know you are at a point of depression and loneliness, and this is where the devil infiltrates and exploits, and just then your phone beeps and young girls await a chat. Can you see the system? Oh my Allah, you've impressed upon me. You've impressed upon me to restrain. Walakin kayfa astamsiku illam tumsikni. Oh my Allah, how can I resist if you don't hold me? In the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa khudh bi nasiyati ila al birr wa taqwa. Oh my Lord, grip me by my forehead and grasp me by my forelock and steer me to your submission. In the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, wa illa tasrif anni kaydahunna asbu ilayhinna wa akum min al-jahilin. Oh my Allah, if you don't avert the seductive nature of these women, oh my Allah, if you do not divert the collective plotting of this woman, asbu ilayhinna, I will incline towards them. Wa akum min al-jahilin, and I will perpetrate the crime. Let me share with you something that made my hair stand on ends. I read it the other day in the writings of one of our great pious predecessors, rahimahullah, Hazrat Tanwi alayhi rahma. He says, no man can sigh with relief. No man can sigh with relief. And he said, reflect over the chastity of Yusuf. The scholars will appreciate this more amazingly, but I'll try and simplify it for the layman as well. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam enjoyed multiple acknowledgement to his chastity, his morality, and his integrity. A, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges Yusuf. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. Thus do we divert sin and vice from Yusuf. Now the point to reflect here, the scholars say, Allah did not say, we averted Yusuf from the sin. Allah said, we averted the sin from Yusuf. One is, I tell you, I move the child from the fire. And one is, I say, I move the fire away from the child. When I move the fire away from the child, can you imagine the level of protection? My boy, you stay where you are, I'll move the fire away. Allah said, we moved vice away from Yusuf. So he enjoyed the accolade of Allah, the testimony of Allah. Then the confession of the woman who seduced him. The Quran said, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. And indeed, I seduced Yusuf, but he resisted and he abstained. Then he enjoyed the acknowledgement of the general woman of Egypt. مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. We cannot blemish Yusuf in any way. He stands out. His colors are clean. He's never cast a glance on any one of us. Then he enjoyed the testimony of a child who has been suckled by his mother. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Then he enjoyed the testimony of the devil. The devil said, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Oh Allah, I will mislead all your servants, but your selected ones I won't interfere with. And the Quran, referring to Yusuf, says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Indeed, he is amongst the selected servants. He goes on to write that Yusuf alayhi salam enjoyed 5 certifications on his chastity, his morality, and his integrity. Yet he said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I cannot claim that I am over with the challenge. I cannot say my soul is pure. I cannot say I am immune. I cannot say I am exempted. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Every soul, by its very nature, by its very temperament, provokes evil in abundance. So what did Amir ibn Abdullah say? My Allah, you created me with your will. You subjected me to these temptations by your decision. Then you told me to discipline myself. My question is, my Allah, how do I discipline myself if you don't hold me? Then he goes on in his communication with Allah. إِلَهِ إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَتْ لِي الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ طُلِبَتْ مِنِّي مَرْضَاتًا لَكْ لَوَهَبْتُهَا لِطَالِبِهَا. Allah, you know, through the relation we enjoy, if the entire world was at my feet, and someone had to tell me that I must part with this world for your pleasure, I wouldn't have winked my eye or twitched my gaze, and I would have forsaken the entire world for your pleasure. إِلَهِ أَحْبَبْتُكَ حُبًّا سَهَّلَ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ مُصِيبًا. Allah, I love you so dearly that because of your love, every tragedy of this world has become trivial for me. فَمَا أُبَالِي مَعَ حُبِّي لَكَ مَا أَصْبَحْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا أَمْسَيْتُ فِيهِ. As long as I know you're happy with me, that which bothers me by the morning or that which agonizes me by the evening doesn't concern me. I just, you know what, you know, just pass it and I move on. I don't take it serious and I don't get personal about it as long as I know my relation with you is intact. Fahabli nafsi ya arhamar rahimin. I'm asking you, my Allah, give me control over my ego. Give me strength over my ego. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, I sat with great scholars, and the summary of my advice that I learned from the pious were two. A, time is like a sword. Al-waqtu sayfun. Time is like a sword. Either you cut it, meaning use it, or then it cuts you. Either you cut it, meaning constructively use it, or then it cuts you. And number two, your nafs. In shagaltaha bilhaqqi, aw shagalatka bilbatil. Either you occupy yourself in obedience or it occupies you on pornography. I had a sister that called me and she cried and she made me cry. She said, my husband is on porn and pornography. That's one pain. But the greater pain is he makes me believe that I am the victim. And he makes me believe that I'm not supporting him. So he argues and he says, no, it's not me. It's a man's problem. The problem with you is you're too nosy in my computer. You need to support me in my problem. She said, is it expected of me to support and sustain and cover and camouflage a life of sin where every day my husband indulges in vice and porn and evil and immorality. And then on the reverse, he expects me to be sympathetic and kind towards the whole thing. Oh my Allah, you give me control over my nafs. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to ask protection against two devils. Min al-jinnati wa nas. Allah save us from the human devil and the jinn devil. Shaykh Izzuddin ibn Abdus Salam has written in his kitab Al-Fawaid fi Mushkilat al-Quran. It's an amazing kitab. Al-Fawaid fi Mushkilat al-Quran. That what is meant, the devil from the jinn, we all know the common devil that we refer to, Iblis, the devil. What is referred to as the devil from the humankind? And he concludes by saying, the devil of the humankind is the human ego. Fahabli nafsi, O my Allah, give me control over myself. That's what I'm asking from you, O Allah. Anyway, he says he's making this dua. Thumma ghalabani nu'asu. I fell off to sleep. فَأَسْلَمْتُ جَفْنَيَّ إِلَى الْكَرَى. I went into deep sleep. فَمَا زِلْتُ أَنَامُ وَأَسْتَيْقِذُ. Sometimes I would toss, I would turn, I would get up. وَعَامِرٌ مُنْتَصِبٌ فِي مَوْقِفِهِ مَاذٍ فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَمُنَاجَاتِهِ. I was envying this man. We are in journey, we are tired, and I am sleeping. And look at this man, his whole night is in ibadah. I was just envying him and green with envy. حَتَّى تَنَفَّسَ الصُّبْحُ. Until the flush of dawn. فَلَمَّا بَدَى لَهُ الْفَجْرُ. When it was the break of dawn, he made a dua. اللهم ها قد أصبح الصبح. Oh Allah, the day has come piercing through. We refer to it in the Quran, بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, the Lord of daybreak. Falaq means to cut through, to pierce through. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِقُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. اللهم ها قد أصبح الصبح. وَطَفِقَ النَّاسُ يَغْدُونَ يَرُوحُونَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ حَاجَةٍ وَإِنَّ حَاجَتِي عِنْدَكَ أَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي. اللهم فقض حاجتي وحاجاتي يا أكرم الأكرمين. Oh my Allah, the night has passed, the sun has risen, a new day has dawned, people have commenced their material pursuits, some running from this end of the community to the other end, someone flying, someone coming, every one of them has a desire. Oh Allah, fulfill all their desires. Oh my Allah, my desire is the very same desire that I had by night, is the very same request by morning. I asked you, my Allah, in the night, forgive me. I'm holding my same request, forgive me in the morning as well. Allahumma inni sa'altuka thalathan, fa'a'taytani ithnatain, wa mana'tani wahida, fa'a'tiniha hatta a'budaka kama uhibbu wa urid. Look at these duas. And then he goes on, he says, he doesn't know about me, I'm sitting and I'm listening. Oh my Allah, he's making this dua, and I'm listening. Oh my Allah, I've been asking you three things for a very long time. Oh my Allah, I've been begging you and knocking your door for three things. Very kindly and graciously, you have afforded me two, and you've denied me one. And you have the right, and I'm not questioning your right. I once again submit a request, approve the third one as well. I once again submit a request, accept my third one. حَتَّى أَعْبُدَكَ كَمَا أُحِبُّ وَأُرِيدُ. So that I can worship you, my Allah, as I want to worship you. He said this, ثُمَّ نَهَذَ مِن مَجْلِسِهِ. And then he stood up, فَوَقَعَ بَصَرُهُ عَلَيَّ. And as he started walking out, his gaze fell on me. Because I was sitting, I had obviously camouflaged myself. He said, يَا أَخَ الْبَصْرَ أَكُنْتَ تَرْقُبُنِي اللَّيْلَ. Brother, were you monitoring me in the night? He said, yes indeed. May Allah make it that people also see me walking out of the masjid at 12 in the night. And let it not be that I walk out of a club and there I identify a face. And you walk out of a casino and there you identify a face. I'm afraid that's the harsh reality on the ground. Look at the life of the pious. He walks out and he sees this. And he's uncomfortable that my piety has been exposed. So he said, Ustur minni satarallahu alayk. Listen, don't tell people about what you've seen. Allah won't reveal your good. What was their discussion? Don't reveal my good. Allah won't reveal your good. We're looking for a platform to announce our good. We're looking for a microphone. We want to go public with our good, which is one. Ustur ma ra'ayta minni. My brother, conceal it. Please don't tell anyone that was a dua between me and Allah. This is the takwini system of Allah. When Allah wants to take out something, then this is how Allah brings it, so you and I can cherish His dua, which was done centuries ago. This is the divine planning of Allah. He said, I am going to tell people that you are asking Allah for 3 prayers. I'm going to go. He said, no, you know what? You're threatening me. He said, if you tell me, then I promise you I will not divulge it. Madum tahayya. As long as you're alive, I want to know what are the 3 du'as. فَلَمَّا رَأَى إِصْرَارِي. When he seen that I was adamant and I was not taking no for an answer, he said, أُحَدِّثُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعْطِيَنِي عَهْدَ اللَّهِ وَمِيثَاقَ أَلَّا تُخْبِرَ بِذَلِكَ أَحَدٍ. I will tell it to you provided you give me your word. He said, it's my word. He said, let me tell you, لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَخْوَفَ عَلَيَّ فِي دِينِي مِنْ فِتْنَةِ النِّسَاءِ. لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَخْوَفَ عَلَيَّ فِي دِينِي. Who this was? A tabi'i who studied under Sahaba, who was the student of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu anhu. لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَخْوَفَ عَلَيَّ فِي دِينِي مِنْ فِتْنَةِ النِّسَاءِ فَسَأَلْتُ رَبِّي أَنْ يَنْزَعَ مِنْ قَلْبِي حُبَّهُنَّ فَاسْتَجَابَ لِي. There have been no greater challenge in my life where I feared I'm going to slip and I'm going to fall harder than the aspect of woman. And I've been begging my Allah for years. I said, my Allah, I need to now cross this bridge and mature this hurdle. Allah, I need to move on with my life. I cannot fall and I cannot slip and I cannot succumb and I cannot fall to this temptation. So repeated, my Allah. Honestly, my brother, Allah guide me, Allah guide you. For all I care, we are living a dual life. There is an image that I will be painting before you as I speak. And your mind will be running an assumption about me. There is the flip side of my life. And there is the flip side of your life. And I'm afraid there is blatant contradiction. There is blatant contradiction in my private life and my public life. In Muslim Sharif, in the first volume on page 20, there is a quotation mentioned there. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi said, I had heard a lot about Abdullah ibn Muharrir. And I said, I want to really meet the man. I heard a lot about him. And I was so anxious to meet him that I said, if I had to pass away and not meet him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, would you like to meet him first or go to Jannah first? I would say, I first want to meet him, then go to Jannah. Read it in Muslim Sharif in the first volume on page 20. أَلْقَيْتُهُ ثُمَّ أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. But then when I seen him, and I seen his true colors, and I got exposed to the flip side of the man, كَانَتْ بَعْرَةٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. كَانَتْ بَعْرَةٌ. Leave an animal, I consider the droppings of an animal more precious than spending time with that man. I consider the droppings of an animal more precious. What was my perception if it was told to me that you want to meet him or go to paradise? لَخْتَرْتُ أَنْ أَلْقَاهُ. لَخْتَرْتُ أَنْ أَلْقَاهُ. I said, no man, that man, oh, I've got an amazing opinion about him. I've got what an opinion. So my brother, as I'm talking, you are drawing an image about me. My Allah knows my weakness, my brother. My Allah knows my weakness and Allah knows your weakness. What were the words of Amir ibn Abdullah? He said, there was nothing I feared more in my life than the temptation of woman. And I've been begging my Allah. And I've been beseeching my Allah. فَاسْتَجَابَ لِي. Allah then accepted this dua of mine. I've come to a point that the temptation remains because that's normal. That's natural. If you're expecting the temptation to disappear, that's not possible, that's not practical, and that's not called for. And Islam does not condone celibacy. Uthman ibn Mad'un. Radda al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Uthman ibn Mad'un. At-tabattul. Ay al-i'tizal anil nisa. Uthman ibn Mad'un said, O Nabi of Allah, can I destroy my manhood? Can I keep away? Can I adopt celibacy? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La rahbaniyata fil Islam. There is no monasticism where you forsake everything. That is not expected. You have to have, and that is part of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what has happened to me now, I do not succumb to any temptation. One brother told me a very good thing, and those that are in the corporate world will know better. He said, from time to time we have these meetings, and obviously it's the code of conduct that you shake hands and you smile and you're cheerful. He said, Allah gave me the ability. Obviously, when the intention is there, then accordingly Allah will inspire you. I put my hands behind my back. So that already, my body language is that, you know what, I don't shake hands. And I try and come in late. I'm saying you can tailor make it, you can attend, you can chop and change to understand and honor your values, to protect it, to safeguard your marriage and ultimately happiness in dunya and akhirah. The scholars say, when a person is fasting, then it's human to incline towards cold water. It's a hot day, it's scorching, it's extremely hot. Humanly, you would think of hot, of cold water. But if somebody puts the vessel of cold water in front of you, would you drink that water? Never. So in terms of the thought and the urge, it's human. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. I remember when we were studying, I guess it was our third year or so, and one day one of our scholars came in, and he said, I know all of yous. You think of women. So we're like, you know what? No. None of us. He said, either you're not physically matured, or you are mentally insane. One of the two. Either you're not physically matured, or you're mentally insane. The Quran says,
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.